The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Senator Aubrey McCarthy has said that he forgives the man who was jailed on Thursday for threatening to kill him and the CEO of his charity, Tiglin. And Aubrey joins us now in studio. Good evening to you, Aubrey.
Hi, Ciara. Thanks for having me.
I'm sure this was a very frightening experience that you had. Tell us a little bit about the background to this case.
So you've had me in the studio before and we were discussing various threats regarding the when the tents were on the canal and different services that Tiglin offers. This was an unusual one in that we've received threats over time, but this was a consistent threat. It kept coming. It would be phone calls, social media, texts, and it started to get very personal, very direct.
Personal to you?
Personal to me, and also Phil Thompson, who's the CEO of Tiglin. And you know, Phil Thompson is a father of four. His youngest kid is 7 weeks old. You know, so he has more skin in the game family-wise than I do. But both of us were absolutely targeted here. One evening, our secretary up at Tiglin received a phone call to say that I would be killed that day and Phil Thompson would be cut up. So she was very, very upset and she rang me and I said, OK, well, we need to tell the guards. So we went to the guards.
Had you spoken to the guards about any of this before?
I received a bullet in the post before. So I've always gone to the guards with any threats. But this one kept coming. It was the same person. So I hadn't spoken to the guards about this because I sort of took it lightly. When it was affecting staff and colleagues, you have to take it seriously. So the guards asked me to make a statement and Phil Thompson made one too. And we did that and they sent it into the DPP. So the Director of Public Prosecutions came back and said, this is a credible threat to kill, which frightened the life out of us. And then the Gardaí sat down with myself and Phil and they said, right, you need cameras, you need panic buttons, you need, Phil had to get gates put in and alter the way you go to work. So they told me I should travel to work a different route every day.
So you weren't easily found, predictable.
Yes, so to get rid of the predictability of it. But the only thing is I have a long avenue. So you go down the long avenue. There's only one way to go. So then it took a while to get to court. And you know with Mary Lou MacDonald, her attacker got 15 months. Simon Harris's harasser got 4 months. So the judge deemed this very serious and he sentenced this gentleman to 5 years. So it was a serious crime and he had malicious intent. But the problem, Ciara, here is that we set up Tiglin to help people that are vulnerable. And I believe this gentleman is vulnerable. I believe he's mental health issues. And whatever his mind is telling him, you know, you're enemy number one. And so there was no justification for his behaviour. However, there is no mental health supports available for the likes of him. So when you said, I forgive him.
Were you quite torn? Because on the one hand, you're being personally threatened, which you're only human. Anybody would be frightened. Anybody would be. I would be. And your secretary, you know, her colleagues were being threatened to be killed, cut up. These are very distressing things. On the one hand, that's awful for you on a human level. But on the other hand, were you saying, look, I get it. I work with people with addiction. I work with people with mental health difficulties. I know the road this man is going and I can only blame him so much. Is that what you're saying?
I always look at whoever we're dealing with as, you know, your brother, your sister, your mother, your father or whatever. And so I see this guy and I saw him in court and his counsel.
Did you know him? Can I ask you?
I had met him through the services, but I wouldn't have known him. I mean, we feed up to 500 people a day. We've 200 people in residence on any one day. So I helped set it up many years ago, 20 years ago. So I'm not involved in the day to day.
Wouldn't know the 700 service users individually.
No, yeah. I wouldn't. But his counsel went to Judge Patrick Quinn yesterday and they said that unfortunately the help that this guy needs, he won't get it in prison. He won't get it in the probation services. So he falls between two stools. So when you hear that, you go, okay, we've dealt with the issue and you have to deal with the threats because they're serious. You look what happened to Jo Cox over in the UK. She went to help constituents and she was killed. You know, when you look at David Amies, Sir David Amies, he was killed. Stephen Timms killed. So it's serious when you have these threats. But at the same time, you look at the mental health reform, you look at the Mental Health Commission, you look at Shine. They've all called for mental health supports for people that have psychosis. And if you don't intervene at an early stage, then you have a crisis.
Yeah.
And yesterday, we dealt with that crisis in court.
And you're quite right. And we don't have enough beds. I mean, there was that report that said that Ireland needs, I think it's 350 forensic psychiatry beds. These are like the people who are in central mental hospital, people who have a psychiatric illness, but also a propensity towards maybe violence or being dangerous because of their illness. We now built a new facility. We now have a new central mental hospital. We built it with 160 beds. It's less than half of what was recommended that we needed based on population. There's some kind of short-termism here, isn't there? Some kind of short-term thinking in terms of mental health in Ireland.
Absolutely. There is no long-term strategy. And we were recently debating the mental health bill with Minister Mary Butler. And you could see there are huge gaps. And that's why it's really important that when you look at the individual here, you look at a person that when he's not on the right medication, well then, untreated, this person that you encounter can be dangerous. So therefore, the health system has to make sure that there is interventions for such people and mental health supports.
Aubrey, obviously this has all been in court and this man has now been jailed and all that. Does it put you off doing your job in any way? Because I know the service is an important thing, but you know, I can only imagine people do get traumatized by certain things or distressed by certain things, and that would just be human nature.
Simple things like when I go home in the evening, I have to ring before I go near my house to say I'm coming on site. So if I leave my phone in the car, then I have to go back out of the house to get it. Then they ring the guards to say there's somebody else on the site. So simple things like that you've had to change. Often I live in a rural area, Kira, and you'd be coming in, and next minute you'd hear you wouldn't hear anything, but you think you hear it and you're convinced that somebody is there. So in that regard, it does change the way you behave. But that's why when I go to the lighthouse, I'm going to the lighthouse immediately after here, and I'll meet people and I'll know they have mental health issues.
Yeah.
And that's why working with the likes of Safety Net, they're a game changer for what we do. We have a doctor on site and we're trying to do more mental health interventions. But I just hope that this guy, he gets a chance at healing. He gets a chance to take advantage of the care that is needed for his health, his mental health. Because I know
that's very noble of you. But I'm still very interested in what you said, that if you hear a noise in your house late at night, do you think, could that be?
You do. And this man that was sentenced yesterday, he's a big guy. He's a big guy, and this has been going on for just over four years. So in that time, and I'm 6'3", but in that time you realise, I wonder, did Joe Cox, did she know what was coming? So you just go, you have to be aware. Phil Thompson has to be careful with his kids. So you're installing cameras, you have the panic buttons. So it does change your day-to-day routine.
And I'm sure you must have felt very vulnerable at times in all of this. Maybe lastly for you, like, you know, we often talk about, say, women in politics, that the kind of abuse or whatever that they get, it puts people off doing the job. And even if you're saying, no, I want to do my job and everything, I'm sure maybe if you were a female head of Tiglin, you know, could you see somebody being put off by this, that the lack of supports actually might make people find it difficult to work in the area?
I absolutely do. And I see people that work in Tiglin and they have given their lives to make a difference. And then they're receiving threats and they don't deserve it. And they're putting themselves at risk. So you would put up your hands and say, oh, here, what's the point? But then you see the other side. You see a Tiglin graduation, or you go down and you have the Cayley down at the lighthouse this evening and you see, wow, you're actually making a difference. So maybe 1 in 100 maybe could turn rogue, but the other 99 are getting the help they need. So the important thing is to do. Tiglin was set out to help people that are marginalised. Unfortunately, this chap is in trouble, but he took it out on us.
Thank you very much for joining us and telling us your story, Aubrey. We do actually really appreciate that. It is Senator Aubrey McCarthy there.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays at 4 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.